The sound of gunfire erupted over Beirut shortly after midnight Friday, but as gunfire goes, this was good gunfire, aimed not at people but at the sky, by residents celebrating the beginning of a truce agreement between Lebanon and Israel. At United Nations headquarters in New York, spokesperson Stéphane Dujarric welcomed the ceasefire.
We welcome steps that would end hostilities and suffering on both sides of the blue line. The United Nations, through our political and peacekeeping missions, remains ready to support these efforts and continues to urge the full implementation of Security Council Resolution 1701. And that full implementation is towards a permanent ceasefire and a long-term solution to the conflict.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the ceasefire was meant to advance peace efforts, but he says troops that have seized territory in Israel's invasion will not withdraw. Hezbollah said in a statement that any ceasefire must be comprehensive across all Lebanese territory and must not allow the Israeli enemy any freedom of movement. The 10-day ceasefire, which began at midnight local time, could help boost efforts to extend the ceasefire between Iran, the U.S., and Israel, which is scheduled to end next week on the 22nd. But President Donald Trump says he's not inclined to extend that ceasefire. Speaking at the White House West Lawn on the way to Las Vegas, he expressed optimism about the agreement.
They're all agreeing it's a very nice little package for about a week, and we're not going to have lots of bombs dropping, and we're going to see if we can make peace between Lebanon and Israel.
Of course, Israel and Lebanon have tried before to reach a peace deal. One reporter asked Trump, what's different this time?
Big difference, me.
He calls the deal very exciting, and he seems to be chalking it up on the list of wars he claims to have ended.
And I think it could be number 10 for me.
Over at the Pentagon, the talk was less about ceasefires and more about U.S. military actions, including an escalation of the U.S. blockade of Iran, which began Monday. General Dan Kane is chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
The U.S. action is a blockade of Iran's ports and coastline, not a blockade of the Strait of Hormuz. Enforcement will occur inside Iran's territorial seas and in international waters.
He says more than 10,000 sailors, Marines, and airmen are enforcing the blockade. He described it with a rather unusual sports metaphor.
It is like driving a sports car through a supermarket parking lot on a payday weekend with thousands of kids in that parking lot as you attempt to maneuver through there to get to that ship that would attempt to run that blockade.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth had his own somewhat bellicose message for Iran.
We are locked and loaded on your critical dual-use infrastructure, on your remaining power generation, and on your energy industry. We'd rather not have to do it, but we're ready to go at the command of our president and at the push of a button.
He also had some words for the press corps, dismissing negative coverage as the endless stream of garbage and calling it incredibly unpatriotic.
I sat there in church and I thought, our press are just like these Pharisees. Not all of you, but the legacy Trump-hating press. Your politically motivated animus for President Trump nearly completely blinds you from the brilliance of our American warriors.
This is far from the first time Hegseth has used biblical rhetoric in describing and justifying the war. In a different way, Pope Leo XIV has also cited scripture on war.
Jesus told us, blessed are the peacemakers, but woe to those who manipulate religion in the very name of God for their own military, economic, or political gain, dragging that which is sacred into darkness and filth.
Speaking during a visit to Cameroon, he blasted what he called the handful of tyrants who are ravaging the world with war and exploitation.
The masters of war pretend not to know that it takes only a moment to destroy. Yet often, a lifetime is often not enough to rebuild. They turn a blind eye to the fact that billions of dollars are spent on killing, on devastation. Yet the resources needed for healing, education, and restoration are nowhere to be found.
Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.